Thanks for coming back for another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. In this second part of a three-part podcast mini-series, we are going to explore the extremely important topic of sanctification. If you missed last week's focus on justification, press pause on this episode and go back to watch or listen to that one. It's crucial in order to get the most from today's teaching. Here now is our host, Jeff Lyle, to take us all further along what he calls the spectrum of salvation.
Welcome back, everybody, to the next, or the current, or this episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. Some of you are listening on our audio streams on Spotify or iTunes or wherever it is that you're streaming audio podcast. Just to let you know, there is a video version of the same podcast. If you want to find the YouTube channel that is called the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. You know, it's funny, I didn't know this, and I've copyrighted the name. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but I own it. But there's a bunch of Mavericks and Misfits stuff out there that's not me. I don't know who they are or what they're doing, but this is the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. These other guys are posers, pretenders, and probably not talking about anything like I'm talking about. And we bless them. Do whichever you got to do. But if you want to know if you found the right one and you're watching on video, it'll have this lovely mug in front of it. And if you're watching on audio, you don't have to worry about any of this. Hey, we want to give you an update on the Shiloh Collective. Those of you that follow the podcast know that Amy and I, and if you don't follow, Amy is my beautiful, wonderful wife, and together we have been working for a good portion of this year, 2025, on establishing a building for the purpose of mentoring and pouring into young adults. There'll be other activities that go on in the building that is going to be called Shiloh Collective, but the primary purpose is that she and I can get reestablished into pouring into young adults. We used to do that a lot in our home. We had a home in Houston near Braselton, and we would host young adults in our home. We used to teach the young singles class shortly after we got married at our church back in the day, and we just love pouring into young adults, especially now that we're a little older, a little wiser. We're empty nesters in the sense that our kids are adults, we're grandparents, and so we've got a little bit of extra to offer, and we are going to be doing that at Shiloh Collective. And so the update is simply this, that we did a campaign last month. A generous friend who happened, of all things, Jeff, if you're listening, I'm praying for you every day. I talk to you every now and then, and you know, but you and Linda are amazing people. Jeff's been battling stage 4 cancer. I want you guys to pray for him. He is such a man of faith, and he and I were working closely together on the building of Shiloh Collective. He's a general contractor, and he just started pouring money into it and pouring expertise and advice and got this terrible diagnosis. So he's been doing both now, but I'll go ahead and out them. They were the couple that said several weeks ago, hey, we're going to match any, raise $25,000 in the month of October, and we're going to match it. You raise 25 and I'll give 25. And of course that took place to God be the glory. And so grateful for Jeff and Linda and their commitment to the kingdom. They do all sorts of stuff in the kingdom. Great people. But we're still raising money. That, you know, Jeff and Linda's matching 25, and the 25 we raised is an incredible amount of money. That's 50 grand. But we need probably, when all is said and done, about 200. And so we're still raising funds for that. If you want to follow that story on the Shiloh Collective, go to the Shiloh Collective. TheShilohCollective.com. If you want to donate to that tax deductible donation, you can do that off of that website, TheShilohCollective.com. You can also give at Transforming Truth. All of it comes through Transforming Truth, with no matter which of our websites you're on. But listen, it's tax deductible. You just choose Prayer and Training Center. That's the option for giving, or you can write a check, and all that information is there on the Shiloh Collective or transformingtruth.org. And we really just need your help. We're still looking forward to doing this. It's, you know, hopefully by the time this podcast airs, probably, I don't know, I guess we'll be late October, early November. we hopefully will have the permits in hand. We had really thought we might launch in November, and that did not happen. I either underestimated the expediency of our county government and the process involved, or I'm just ignorant of these things and too zealous, and I didn't have a realistic realistic timetable. But it's coming, guys. It's coming. It's happening. And work is going to be continuing to go on during the winter. And my goal is ASAP, as soon as possible, that we would have Shiloh Collective up and running. If you are a young adult and you live anywhere near Dawsonville, Georgia, of course, we would invite all those from our church in Bethlehem, Antioch Outpost. We're just going to do it. I don't have the big game plan yet. God said, if you build it, they'll come. That kind of thing. And so we're building it. Amy and I have donated the building, the property, all of that stuff. We've invested about 10 grand of our own money, probably more like 12 by now. And we're just asking for help. So if you want to donate and help us, go to theshilohcollective.com, watch the video there, and it'll give you a little bit of the story of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And we would love your support. All right, so last time we were together, I got really riled up. And no apologies whatsoever. I might get riled up again today. But we're talking on this issue of the spectrum of salvation. What does it mean to be saved? You are in a... Listen, here's the fact. This is what the scripture teaches. Remember, I made the statement, if you watched the last episode. If you didn't, you need to go back and watch or listen to that last episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast on justification. What does it mean to be justified? How are we justified from God's point of view? What does it mean to be justified from our point of view? What does it mean to be justified? But the truth of the matter is when you do, when you gain an understanding of what the Bible actually says about salvation, here's three things. You are saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. You are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. And because of the famine in the land of theology, people view salvation basically whoever got to him first. What if the person who taught you about salvation got it wrong? And you've never studied it out for yourself. You've never actually looked at what the Bible says. You just believe what somebody says the Bible says. That's why I give you Bible. Like, I don't want you trusting me. I'm trustworthy. I don't mind telling you that. But if you'll learn it for yourself, you can appreciate me, but you don't have to live off of what Jeff said the Bible said. And so when we're going through these things of salvation, you got to know what the Bible says. And so we talked about justification last time. And I told you that sanctification, so justification is the sovereign act of God whereby he decrees you righteous because you have believed on his son and put your trust in him. You're justified. That means you stand before God for all of eternity as not guilty. The perfect score that Jesus got is put on your account. Your big fat F, your zero, you didn't score a 1 or a 2 or a 20 or a 30 or a 40. You got a zero. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and he who is guilty of the law in one point, breaking the law in one point, is guilty of it all. You had a big, fat F, zero. You failed. Spiritually, righteously speaking, you and I are failures before coming to Jesus. We have nothing. We have demerit. It's not merit that we're lacking. We have no merit. We have demerit. And so Jesus' perfect score was placed on your big, fat F. Your big, fat F was placed on him, and that's why he had to die. That's the way it works. And I made the statement last time. I don't care how you feel. Look, I love you. I'm not trying to be obnoxious like 5 minutes into the podcast, but I'm just going to go hard after this. I am so sick and tired in every spectrum of Christianity that we're always worried about how people feel. And so we end up presenting truth in a way that has no teeth in it. We give people, depending on how you feel about this, you may want to believe it. No, truth demands to be believed, and every untruth must bow to truth. So if I feel a certain way about something and it's not true, my feelings are actually the problem, not the truth. And so theology doesn't care about my feelings. Truth doesn't care about my feelings. And when it comes to the issue of salvation and the spectrum of salvation, you're being justified, sanctified, and glorified. Forget how you feel about it. What does the Bible say? If you haven't matured to the place in your journey with Jesus that you can look at your feelings and say, sit down and be quiet and say to the truth, stand up and speak over me, no matter what I feel, then you're not as far along as you think. And so if you get offended at me and you don't like what I say in these podcast episodes, study your Bible. Prove me wrong. Last episode, we talked about justification. We talked about if you're genuinely saved, you are eternally saved. And people don't like that. They're like, no, man, you can lose your salvation. And I asked some very important questions in that last one. How holy do you have to be to make sure you never lose your salvation? Where in the Bible does it tell you how many sins you commit and then you lose your salvation? Or what are the biggies? You commit these 3, these 5, these 9, these 20 sins, and they're deal breakers with God? Then you don't understand justification. And I also said in the last episode, I don't believe that you can ask Jesus into your heart, believe the gospel facts that he died on the cross, rose the 3rd day, ascended to the Father, and is returning to earth one day, and you call him Lord, but you can live however you want, go off in sin, and you're still going to go to heaven when you die. I don't believe that for a second. But I highlighted in that, it's not a matter of losing your salvation. It's a matter that if you are living in open sin after you profess Jesus Christ as Lord, you don't lose your salvation. You never had it. And that comes from a study of the first 4 chapters of the book of 1 John. You read 1 John and you're going to find out it says, if we say we have no sin, we are liars and the truth is not in us. If we say that we know him, but we have habitual sin, the truth is not in us. We are lying. We are deceived. So the fact that somebody lives in habitual sin or open sin or unrepentant sin doesn't mean they had salvation and lost it. It means they never had it. And so I think we're all in agreement on this, that nobody who lives in unbroken, unbridled, unrepentant sin as a habit is a person that has any hopes of being with God for eternity. I don't believe that for a second. But not because they were converted, they were justified, and then they got unjustified. So anyway, that was the last episode. Today, I want to talk to you about this second part in the spectrum of salvation. And again, if you are watching, you're seeing the notes that are going to be up on your screen. If you're not watching and you're just listening, you miss the advantage of the notes. So I would encourage you to check out the YouTube channel for the Mavericks and Misfits podcast so you can get the reinforcement of the notes as we talk about the spectrum of salvation. So again, I'm going to give you a recap here. There are 3 practical experiences for the believer along this spectrum of salvation. Again, those 3 practical experiences. You experience these if you are a Christian. The first thing you experience is your justification. But God does this. You don't do this. You don't justify yourself. You don't help. You don't add anything. The only thing that you add to the salvation equation is you bring your sin. You add your sin. God does all the other parts of justifying you. He declares you righteous when you bring your sin to Jesus and you trust in Jesus' death on the cross as payment for your sin and you commit yourself to him as Lord. That's called repentance. And God justifies the ungodly. Then it's sanctification. So what's interesting is you'll see today, God actually does sanctification sovereignly too. It's connected to your justification, but God also requires your cooperation in the sanctification process. And that's where people get confused because they don't distinguish sanctification from justification. Therefore, they think they have to do things to stay saved. And what they don't understand is, no, you are cooperating in sanctification from your justification. Not to keep yourself justified, but your sanctification validates your justification. If there is no sanctification, you never had justification. You didn't lose it. You never had it. And so that's the part where a lot of Christians end up fighting over, you know, this doctrine is because of a confusion between sanctification and justification. But I'll help you with that today. And then ultimately, that third part, the final part, is glorification, okay? So God does the justification, God does the glorification, but we cooperate in this thing called sanctification. So that's really what I want to talk about today. What does it mean to be sanctified? Well, there's 2 angles. There's God's angle on it, sanctification from God's perspective, and then sanctification from our angle, our participation. There is no sovereign sanctification. You have to cooperate with Holy Spirit to become sanctified. So let's talk about that. So sanctification, it's the process by which Christians are set apart by God and for God. We're set apart by God and for God from the rest of the world. And sanctification is also the process by which Christians are made positionally holy by God's grace and then progressively holy by our own trust and obedience and spiritual growth. So positional sanctification, we're going to talk about that in a moment. That's an act of God whereby God sets us apart for his purposes. To be sanctified actually means to be set apart for a purpose or set apart unto something or someone. So sanctification positionally is God setting us apart for his purposes in our life. Progressive, not positional sanctification, but progressive sanctification is the effect that we cooperate and obey the Spirit of God and the Word of God, okay? So when we talk about sanctification, it is you and God partnering together. That is your entire Christian life. It's what I'm doing right now. It's what I'm doing tomorrow. It's what I did yesterday. And when I am aware that I am partnering with God from my justification, that's the launching pad. I am justified. Therefore, I have the ability to partner with God in becoming more like Christ. I am predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. If you are saved, you are predestined to be conformed, to be molded in to the likeness of Jesus Christ. You're being made to be like Jesus. That's how we glorify him. That's how we make him known. We become more like him. And so God and you, God and me, we are partnering together in this thing called sanctification. It's glorious. This is where you are actually working with God. Guys, again, I hate to beat a drum here, but you didn't help out with your justification. He doesn't need your help. You couldn't add a thing. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, lost and incapable of adding a single shred of anything helpful to your salvation. God did that. The only thing he told you to do is obey the gospel. Repent and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a surrender. Salvation is a surrender. And when you put your faith in Christ, you're justified. His death for your sin. His life for your future. That's it. So sanctification is where you and God spend the rest of your life together. This is the majority part of your earthly pilgrimage. Justification is the miracle of a moment. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. And so we get to explore this today. So let me give you a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23. Just listen to these. I'm just going to season your mind with the Word of God here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So for you watching, I'm going to leave that up on the screen for a minute. It says, now notice this, it's got both parts in one verse. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Whoa. That tells me right away that God is involved in my sanctification. And then it talks about the result of that. When God is working to sanctify me completely, it results in my whole spirit and soul and body being kept blameless all the way up to the point where the Lord Jesus Christ returns. I love that. Because it tells me right off the bat, Jeff, you will never in this lifetime be done being sanctified. There's never a place where I look around and say, whew, I'm done. I made it. I am completely like Jesus in this life. No work left to be done. Let me just go ahead and declare myself sanctified fully, therefore glorified completely. It just doesn't work that way. And so when we're thinking through these things, we recognize that there is a positional truth that God has set me apart in Jesus Christ for himself. Have you thought about that? That the moment you got saved, God says, now you're mine, and my purposes, which is the best thing that could ever happen in your life, my purpose will begin to be fulfilled in you. I'm going to help you, my child. I'm going to work in you. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to mature you. And by the way, I'm going to help you carry your cross. Therefore, you're going to die to some things. You're actually going to deny yourself daily. You're going to deny yourself weekly. You're going to deny yourself habitually. And you're going to say no to the things that would have otherwise been your purposes in life. And I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to set you apart fully for me, okay? How does this occur? How do we become like Jesus? Well, glad you ask, okay? Let Jesus himself answer the question in John 17, 17. He is praying to the Father. He is about to go to the cross. And Jesus prays to the Father. He's not only praying for his current disciples at that time, but for all who would believe on Jesus through the word of those original disciples and apostles. So Jesus prays to the Father, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Amazing. In a world that is constantly trying to figure out what is true, Jesus answered it 2,000 years ago. Jesus said to the Father, your word, what God says, is always true. It is the truth. It's the standard of what is true. It's the measure of what is true. It is the filter. It filters out what is not true. It is settled forever. The word of God is settled forever. It'll never change. It doesn't get adjusted depending on the culture or the time or the values or the views. It is the bedrock. It's the plumb line. It's the anchor. And Jesus said, this is how we are sanctified. We are sanctified by coming into alignment with the truth of what God says. And hallelujah, over and over again in the Bible, it testifies of itself that the written word of God is God's truth. Now, if you don't get this, I don't really have anything to offer you. Because if you don't get the plumb line, if you don't get the foundational element of what is true, then you are going to live a life up and down, in and out, high and low, certain, uncertain, wonderful, not so wonderful. You're going to be zigging and zagging all over the place when it comes to what you believe. Because you've got to have something. Look, truth is objective. Remember the phrase that came out about a decade ago? People just started saying it all the time. I actually think it was Oprah who may have made this a popular saying. She's like, that's your truth. Here's my truth. And we're like, oh, we all get our own truth. That is really convenient. That way, I get to live in my own little world with my own little set of what's true, with my own little standards of what's right, with my values are true to me, therefore they're right for me, and you don't have to agree with them, but you might like my truth if you would just have my truth. And then if your truth ever conflicts with my truth, then we're going to be at war, and your truth has to bow. And that's what we've got in the culture today. That's why people are living in perpetual offense, because they've set up their own standard of truth. I don't have my own standard of truth. I have an adopted standard of truth. I am being sanctified by a standard of truth that didn't originate with me. It's called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. It's called the everlasting, eternal bedrock of truth by which everything else is measured and judged. And Jesus, your Savior, if you're watching this as a Christian, your Savior said that we are sanctified by God according to God's truth. We are set apart unto God's purposes by the truth of the Word. We become more sanctified, more like God, more in alignment with God, more in intertwined with God's purposes as we absorb and align with the truth of the Word. Jesus said that. I didn't make that up. So let me ask you, how's your relationship with your Bible these days? Big question. How is your relationship with your Bible? How are you being sanctified if you're not in the Word? Like, I help lead. I'm the chief operations officer of Kineo Ministry Training Center. Do you know why I give a large portion of my time and my life to that? Because it is one tool by which God is discipling thousands of people and has discipled thousands of people under the commitment to truth of Dr. Karen Smith, who is our founder and president of the school. We then, as professors, teach the truth, and we are all about sticking to the Word of God. Yeah, Holy Spirit comes into our classrooms every week, but we are measuring everything by the standard of the Word of God. Let me give you this from 1 Corinthians 6. Paul had just spent a lot of time writing to the church of Corinth about how jacked up and enslaved to their sin they used to be before they got saved. And so he's talking about all these long list of sins and these long list of different types of sinners. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. You guys used to be like this, but You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the Spirit of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are all past tense. You have been sanctified by God. So your positional truth is God has set you apart. God has said, you are mine, and then here's the consequence of that. Now live like it. That's what innumerable Christians haven't gotten this yet. You are set apart unto God and His purposes. Now live like it. And the now live like it part is your part in sanctification, okay? Let me give you a few more verses about sanctification. Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, Paul writes, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, that is such good news. Oh my goodness, that's good news. Why? Because there are days where I'm like, Lord, am I any more sanctified than I was a year ago? Lord, why do I still have thoughts like that? God, why am I still selfish? Lord, why am I still irritable? God, why do I get lazy sometimes? Lord, why did I eat that second piece of chocolate cake? Lord, why do I have this negative perpetual thought about this person or this type of person? And there are moments where I'm like, am I in this thing or not? If you struggle in your sanctification, you can actually end up questioning your justification. That's why it's so important that you never let those two things become one in your mind. They're connected, but I'm going to tell you, your sanctification level, your practical holiness, the way you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, is not the determination of whether you're still saved. The outflow of your sanctification from your justification is the evidence that you're saved. And again, I'm going back to that verse. Paul said this, I am sure that Jesus who began the good work in you will finish it. It's really talking about the Holy Spirit of the Father there, that he who began the good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So don't despair. Sanctification is a process. It's a process. Some days you're going to be rocking it. Some days you may not be feeling it. But you, even if you're moving in the right direction, that is evidence. Even if it's slow, even if you're hitting stubborn patches. A lot of people have certain, the writer of Hebrews talked about them, called them weights that hinder us in our race. It's like ankle weights. And then it talks about sins that beset us. That was the King James, that kind of knock us off the path. And it isn't that we're perfectly glorified yet. Sanctification is a process. It means some days you're killing it, you're doing great. Other days, maybe not so much. But are you moving? Is there evidence? Is there clarity that you're moving in the right direction? I would love to tell you I never sinned since I got saved, except I don't want to lie. All of us have sinned. All of us. I've done things and thought things and said things as a believer that look like an unbeliever. But the overall view of my salvation over these 31 years is that my sanctification, it continues to move towards Christ-likeness. In spite of those moments where I've done, said, or thought something that was sinful. And if all of a sudden I'm lost again, I'm unsaved again, I'm not justified again because I committed a sin, then you're trusting in yourself. I would be trusting in myself if that was the case. What I do is I repent when I sin and I say, I'm going to learn from that. I'm not going to do that again. I turn from it. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, we are, present tense, God's children now, present tense, we are God's children now, and what we will be, future, has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him. That is future tense. When Jesus appears, we are instantly going to be exactly like Him. We won't be divine, but it's talking about His nature, His moral, His virtue, His righteousness, which currently is positional. We have positional righteousness. God treats us as we are righteous in Christ. But then when we see Him, we shall see Him as He is. And then verse number 3, here's sanctification. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. Did you catch that? We are in Christ, sanctified in Christ, positionally set apart by God, in Christ, for God, and that when Jesus appears, we're going to be just like him. That is the instant of our glorification. When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, 1 John 3:2. And then that 1 John 3:3, everyone who has that hope, everyone who has the hope of glorification currently in this life is purifying himself. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it right there, that in yellow, if you're looking on the screen, everyone who thus hopes in Christ purifies himself. That's my part in sanctification. My part in sanctification is purifying myself. It's a process. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We are progressively becoming more like Jesus. It is maturing. It is discipleship. It is being conformed. It actually happens in time and space. It happens through the process of you being in the Word and the Holy Spirit working in you. It happens better in community. When we do life together, we are more and more sanctified. So let me give you this in Galatians 5:5. For those of you that might be despairing over whether or not you're saved because you're not as sanctified as you wish you were. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Did you catch that? By faith, through Holy Spirit, Christians eagerly are waiting for the hope of full righteousness. That is Galatians 5:5. That means as we are being conformed into the image of Christ, we don't despair because we're not there yet. We are patiently, eagerly waiting for that fullness moment where we are fully made righteous in Jesus Christ. But we do it by faith. We don't do it by striving. We don't do it by fear. Oh, I got to be more righteous lest I lose my salvation. Oh, I got to be more righteous so God will accept me. That's a slave orphan mentality. No, you're already positionally righteous. You're already set apart. Therefore, I'm going to act as I am. I'm going to live as I am. If he says I'm righteous, then I'm righteous. I'm going to live that way. If he says I'm sanctified, I am sanctified. I'm going to live that way. And as I do so, yes, the flesh and the spirit battle, according to that same book of the Bible, book of Galatians chapter 5, the flesh and the spirit war, but we're progressively becoming more like Jesus, and one day we'll have the full hope rewarded, and we are cooperating with that. How do you know if you're saved? Because you're cooperating with the concept and the process of sanctification. If you're not cooperating with sanctification, if you don't long to be holy, if you don't grieve over your sin, you're not saved. You didn't lose it. You never had it. If you are not progressively, proactively, intentionally cooperating with Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus, you are not saved. Or you just got saved and nobody told you this yet. Thank God you're listening to this today. What does it look like? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let's cleanse ourselves. Did you catch that? Cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body, physical sins with the body, and spiritual sins, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. I love that verse because it says you got to cooperate with this. Why? Because you have promises. Promises of glorification, promises of being set apart in Christ, promises of being justified in Jesus, and your response is there. Not to get those things, but because you have those promises, your response is, oh, I'm going to cleanse myself. I'm not going to live defiled. I'm not going to sin with my body, and I'm not going to allow sinful stuff in my spirit. I'm going to bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. I love that. I love that. I love that. Oh, my goodness. Let me wrap up here today. So, yeah, God sanctifies us. God sets us apart. And as he sets us apart, Holy Spirit empowers us to cooperate with God. You have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If I don't really believe I'm fully justified, then I'm going to be trying to be justified. I got to justify myself. And it just so happens that that is a violation of Scripture. You're working for something. So, well, Jeff, we didn't work for it. Jesus got it started. I'm just going to keep it going. It's heresy. It's heresy. You work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. You work it out. You already have it. You're justified. And so you have that promise. You're like, I'm his. I'm a daughter. I'm a son. I didn't earn it. I can't lose it. I'm going to walk this thing out because I have it. God justified me. I'm going to walk it out. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart in the purposes of God. That means I am His. I have purpose. I have identity. I have a forever family. I have favor on my life. I am for God. I am with God. I am in Christ. Totally changes. Like, people are taking their identity from their skin color. That's so stupid. I'm just going to tear off my filter. I am so sick and tired of the racial politics. I'm so sick of it. You've got churches, you've got individuals, you've got denominations that are all about their race. And even those, you know, churches that would never say they're racial, but you let somebody walk in from a different demographic and there's an unholy gasp in the room. I've been the only white guy in churches and been made to feel very welcome. And I've been the only white guy in churches and felt like I had, you know, scabies. Like, get that guy out of here. He's nasty. He's a white guy. I remember being in Tanzania. Now, I wasn't the only white guy in the church. I was the only white guy in downtown Moshi one day. The only guy. And I remember being very aware of my whiteness, and it helped me to remember how a lot of people of color might feel in a white church here in America. But I'm going to put all of that stuff aside. I'm like, man, what describes me will not define me. You want to define me as a white man and you want to draw all those conclusions? Forget you. You need to grow up in Jesus. If any of you out there and you're a white person and you're defining people by what you see on social media with all this foolishness that's happened in the black community, I'm not pretending we didn't see the same videos. I'm not pretending there's not problems in the black community, but don't you dare reduce every single African American to what you see in some, you know, generated reel on social media. I mean, all these stereotypes, you know, like all Asian people are smart. I used to hang out with some bros that were Asian and they were not smart. You know, all black people are violent. All white people are racist. You know, all Mexican people are whatever, you know, just my identity is a son of God. I happen to have peach skin. So my identity is as a son of God. And if you're in Christ, you're my sister, you're my brother. I don't care what your hair texture is. I don't care what your melanin level is. I don't care what your accent is. Brothers, sisters, I'll stand by that until the day I die. My sanctification is not into anything less than Jesus. And that's going to lead me to glorification. And it's going to lead you to glorification. And that day's coming. We're getting closer and closer and closer. So friend, as I sign off for today, your sanctification is a process. Because you're saved, you'll never quit. If you are watching this and you don't care about personal, practical holiness, and you don't care, you're not grieved, cut to the core when you sin, you're just kind of flipping about, it's no big deal, Jesus died for it, I do what I want, it's all paid for. You've never met him. You don't know him. You're deceived, and you need to repent, not from a sin, but repent from your unbelief and fall before the merciful God of heaven and say, Jesus Christ, I repent of being a sinner before you, sitting on the throne of my own life, ruling my own life, running my own life. Jesus, I repent not of just an individual sin, but I repent of being a sinner and throw myself on your mercy. And he'll save you and he'll change you and you'll be justified and you'll be sanctified by God unto his purposes. The evidence of genuine conversion is the activity of sanctification. If there is no sanctification, there has been no justification. Please know that. If you are justified, and even though your sanctification may struggle sometimes, stumble sometimes, the writer of Hebrews said it, that there are weights that hold us down and there are besetting sins that knock us off the path. My question to you is, are you determined to forsake those sins? Are you grieving? You need to cut off your left hand or pluck out your right eye? You know, in a lot of sins, I'll just be blunt here, a lot of sins, pornography involves your eyes and your hand. And there's a lot of people that don't take it seriously, but they're like, well, thank God Jesus' blood covers it. Has it? Because he doesn't just cover sin, he breaks the power of it. And so you've got to take it seriously. You've got to get radical and cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1. And if you're doing that, I want to encourage you. You're moving in the right direction. Keep doing it. It's good, good evidence that you're born again. All right, last one will be next episode. It's going to be glorification. That's going to be a fun one. Tune in to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast next time. Until then, we'll see you.
Sanctification is definitely the main part of the spectrum of salvation, which causes the most theological confusion. If we fail to keep sanctification in its proper place, we risk getting sideways about our justification, and that can cause many people to despair over their own soul. Hopefully, you were helped by what Jeff shared with us in this episode. Next week, we will wrap up this three-part focus with the topic of glorification. We will see you then.